Good morning. Well, lately I've been thinking on an attitude in life. Something a little different. I haven't heard a lot on it, but I've been pondering it on the power that it has in our outlook of life, whether we have a good attitude or a bad attitude. It can change a lot in the way that we think. And I'm not always very good at having a good attitude, but some days I just got to try harder than others. But I was looking at a few examples in the Bible, and if we turn to Numbers 13, we see here of Joshua and Caleb when they were coming back from scouting out the land here, starting in verse 17. We'll start reading. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath, I guess you say it. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahaman and Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of pomegranates and of figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they said unto him, We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the children be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land, though we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw giants in the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is exceeding a good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And we'll read verse 9 yet. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. stop there. We notice, I don't know, maybe I didn't read the chapter good enough, about how many spies there were that went. And only two of them had a very good attitude about the whole situation. And if I was among all of them and I was only the two that had a good attitude, I might start thinking about changing mine because, well, sometimes I'm not that great at standing out that good. But here we see they were able to have the good attitude even though the other spies painted it pretty bleak. And we know as we read farther in the story that they were able to overcome it and they were able to convince the people to do otherwise. Imagine if they wouldn't have, and they would have been like, well, we're the only two, let's just go with the flow and see what happens. And probably wouldn't have ended near as good. But we see there that they have a good attitude. If we turn over to Jonah, we'll take a look at some of the things over there. Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 1, here we see Jonah had just preached to Nineveh, and they had repented, and we'll see his reaction. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, for he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was it not this my saying when I was yet with my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repentance thou thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord unto Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat in the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd, and made it come over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it come to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared east wind, don't know how to say that word, and the sun beat upon it in the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry with the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for which it hast not labored, neither hast thou made it grow, which came up in a night, and it perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there was more than 60,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle? Here, Jonah didn't have that great of an attitude. And we can see it kind of soured up the situation a little bit for him. And wouldn't have been a lot better if he would have rejoiced in the work that God just saved the whole city. But it all worked out. And the Bible may not say in its Ten Commandments, commands us to have a good attitude, but there are verses that encourage it. If we look in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Also in chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all that men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, Whatsoever things be of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It may not say it, but sure does a good, clear indication that some of these things are going to be pretty hard to do if we have a sour attitude in our life. And I don't know about y'all, but I sure don't like hanging out with people that have bad attitudes. And a little story I found, and kind of gives a perspective between the two. It says, I remember reading about a certain man who went to church one Sunday. He frowned when the organist missed a note. He glared at two whispering teenagers. He looked repeatedly at his watch, and when the offering plate was passed, he felt that the usher was watching him to see how much he gave. He sat tight-lipped during all the hymn singing, and during the sermon, he felt pleased with himself when he caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue. As he sneaked out the side door during communion, he muttered to himself, "What a terrible service. Why did I bother?" Another man went to church on the same Sunday. He chuckled at the sight of a father exchanging hugs with a toddler. During the offertory, he wondered, "God has given me so much. Am I giving enough?" He struggled honestly with the scripture readings to find a word to live by. Part of the sermon helped him with the question he had often thought about. And apparently I cut out the wrong thing. But it goes on to say that at the end of the Sunday, they both went out of the service. They both went out of the same service. One of them was rejoicing, thankful that he had went to the church service and got what he could, and the other one went out, you see, questioning what he got out of the service and if it was really worth it. So, something I've been challenged by, what my attitude is like. Maybe we'd be living personally with a positive attitude. Not only will we be bringing glory to God as we shed his light, but it'll also change our outlook on life.